The first reading is taken from Psalm 107, reading verses 10 to 16. Psalm 107, verses 10 to 16. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from the book of Jonah and beginning to read at chapter 2. This is after the great fish has swallowed Jonah. This is Jonah's prayer. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. At the roots of the mountains, I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good morning to those of you online as well. If you've got your Bible with you, it'd be good if you could keep it open at that chapter that we've just had read to us from Jonah. Jonah chapter 2. Do you know, I recently celebrated my 10-year anniversary of moving to Knutsford. I'm sure you were celebrating along with me. But I remember the day very clearly when I got the keys to my new flat. You see, I had bought a sofa from the previous owners. But that day I went out to the big Tesco in Altrincham and I bought myself a cushion and a lamp. And I came home that night and I settled myself down into my sofa, snuggling into my new cushion with the lamp on. And it was all very exciting. Life was good. You know, I have to say, for the first time in my life, I felt like an adult. But nothing prepared me for what happened next. It started with just a bit of a murmur, and then the noise got a little bit greater and greater still until this tremendous noise was above my flat. I genuinely thought a spaceship was about to land on the roof of my flat. You see, nobody had told me up until this point that I had just purchased a flat on the direct flight path to Manchester Airport. And so for the next couple of evenings, you know, I lay awake at night in despair as I counted each plane that flew overhead. But you know, the interesting thing is it was honestly just within a couple of weeks that I didn't notice them anymore. You know, obviously the planes were still there. I had just got so used to them that I didn't notice them. And I would have friends who would come to stay. I'd have visitors for the weekend. And it was the first thing that everyone commented on. Like, how can you put up with that noise? It's incredible. And I could honestly say that I just didn't take any notice. I'd become so used to these planes flying overhead. And I'm afraid to say, I think it can sometimes be a little bit like that with the great stories of the Bible. You know, when you think of Noah's Ark, or Moses in the Red Sea, or David and Goliath, you know, these are great stories. I'm sure the first time you heard them, you sat up and you took notice. Maybe you were a child when you first heard those stories, but they would have made an impression on you. And then I think what happens is, over the years, we maybe become a little bit too familiar with these stories. Maybe they don't quite make the same impression that they once did. We don't notice them like we once did. Well, we are looking at least at part of one of these great stories in the Bible this morning, the story of Jonah. And I'm sure it's a story that you're very familiar with. I'm sure over the years you've heard it many times. Maybe you're a little bit too familiar with it. Maybe it doesn't quite make the impression that it once did. Well, I hope that we can look at this story afresh this morning, that God would maybe remind us of something that we've lost sight of, that God would challenge us as we look at this story together, but that he would encourage us as well. So with that in mind, let's bow our heads to pray before we turn to God's word. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity that we have to gather together this morning, and we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you for this book of Jonah, a story that we know well, but we pray, Father, that you would be at work in our hearts this morning, that you would be teaching us, that you would challenge us, but that you would encourage us at the same time. I pray that even in this Old Testament story, we would be able to see Jesus clearly, and that we would go away making much of him and giving him all the glory. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. This morning in Jonah chapter 2, we're really looking at one of the great prayers in the Bible. You know, Jonah says here in verse 2, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. And quite frankly, I could probably just sit down at this point, because I think that is the most important thing that I'm going to say this morning, is really just highlighting that verse, just reminding you of that verse. I called out to the Lord and he answered me. You know, it's amazing when you think about it that God hears our prayers. It's amazing that God answers our prayers. You know, when you think of our sinfulness, it really is incredible that God would still hear and answer our prayers. You know, in the book of Hebrews, God says that he wants us to boldly approach his throne of grace. He wants us to come to him with confidence. You know, God knows that we are sinful people, and yet he still invites us to boldly approach his throne of grace. I find that amazing. Do you know, when I was younger, when I very rarely did something wrong and stepped out of line, you know, my mum would say to me, right, that's it, Stephen, go and see your dad. And my dad had a study in our house where he seemed to spend most of his time. And I can honestly tell you that that walk to my dad's study was not one that I ever made boldly. It was not one that I ever made with confidence, because I was always worried about what was going to happen. I was thinking, you know, I've messed up here. I've done something wrong. My dad's going to be angry. How's he going to react? And so much of the time, I think that we have that same view of God. You know, when we get things wrong, when we mess up, we put distance between ourselves and God, because we're worried about how he's going to respond. We think he's going to say, no, enough's enough, Stephen. You've done this too many times now. We think he's going to be angry. The Bible is very clear that God is angry about sin, but in Christ he's dealt with sin. And so he wants us to trust in Christ because he wants to forgive you. Sometimes I think we lose sight of that. God wants to forgive us. He wants us to boldly approach his throne of grace. You know, despite our sinfulness, he still wants us to come to him in prayer. And that's what we see with Jonah. You know, if you know the book, you'll know that the first chapter of Jonah is really all about his disobedience. You know, God quite simply gives Jonah a command. He says, here's what I want you to do. And Jonah says, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to reject that. And he runs away and he does his own thing. He does what suits him. And yet here we are just one chapter later and Jonah says, but when I called out to God, he answered me. So I think the first thing that we see here is that God answers our prayers despite our sinfulness. You've got to remember that Jonah wasn't, you know, obediently on his way to Nineveh when he just happened to fall overboard on the ship. You know, he'd rejected God, he turned away from God, he was running from God, he was guilty of disobedience. And so if you're here this morning, and perhaps you feel that sums you up. Maybe you feel like you've been running from God recently. Maybe you've rejected his word. Maybe you feel like you've rebelled against God. Then you can take some comfort from this book of Jonah. There's still hope. God still wants to work in your life. He wants us to come to him in prayer, and he will hear us when we call out to him. You know, there's so many examples of that all the way through the scriptures, but we see it quite clearly in that psalm that we had read for us, Psalm 107. It's a great psalm. There are actually so many links and connections with the book of Jonah, if you were to read through it in its entirety. But, you know, the psalmist says here, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High, you know, just like Jonah had done. So God bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. You see, there are consequences to our sin, just as there was for Jonah. But then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he burst their chains apart. So let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Do you know what? I think that sometimes the difficulties and the trials that we go through in life, our anxieties, our frustrations, are sometimes brought about from external circumstances. Maybe they're brought about from things that other people have said or done to us. But I'm sure that we have all been in the position where the cause of our anxiety, the cause of our anguish, our frustration, our distress is because of things that we've done. Our own disobedience. That was certainly true of Jonah. And if it's true for you as well, then take comfort from this story of Jonah, that God can deliver you from that. Using the words of the psalmist, he can deliver you from darkness. He can burst those chains apart. Despite our sin, God still wants us to come to him that he might forgive us. But you know, I think the next thing that we need to remember is that God can sometimes answer prayer in stages. And sometimes he answers prayer in a way that we maybe wouldn't have expected, maybe that we didn't want. And that might be a bit uncomfortable for us. You know, I often think about that story in the Old Testament. You know, the story of Joseph, where his older brothers, they sell him into slavery in Egypt, but they go home and they tell their dad, Jacob, that Joseph's been killed. Now, the Bible tells us that Jacob could not be comforted. It says that he mourned for a long time. And I sometimes wonder what his prayers must have been like. He must have been angry with God, I think. He must have questioned God, pleaded with God, bargained with God. And how long did that go on for? Months? Years? So many years that maybe he thought his prayers weren't being answered. It was so many years later that he was reunited with his son, Joseph. Many years of confusion, hurt, maybe questioning God, questioning that his prayers weren't being answered. But you know, God was always at work. And his timing is perfect, and he was always working out his plan of salvation. It's the same in the New Testament, the story of the prodigal son. I think I've said this before. I think it's the best story ever told. But the bit that always gets me is when Jesus talks about that young son, and he says, you know, when he came to his senses, he decided that he was going to come back to his father's house. But he says that while he was still a long way off, his dad saw him and ran out to him. Now, when I read that, I just think there's no way that was by chance. There's no way it was just by chance his dad happened to see him that day. I think his dad was standing on the porch looking out for him every day, longing that his boy would come back to him. Think of his prayers. We don't know whether it was months, years, that he would have been crying out to God for his boy to come back to him. Maybe he was tempted to think that God wasn't answering his prayer. But God was always at work. His timing is perfect. He was working out his plan of salvation. And so we turn to Jonah here. And Jonah is drowning in the sea. You see, you know, that's where his prayer begins, is when he's drowning. You know, he prays to God. Listen to some of the things he says. I called out to the Lord out of my distress. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried. The flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. That's when he called out to God in prayer. And the point is this. Do you think he prayed to God in that moment, oh God, if only you would send a fish, that I might spend a few days in there? No, the belly of a fish hardly seemed like salvation, but it was. We need to remember that God sometimes answers prayer in stages. He sometimes answers prayers in ways that we wouldn't expect, maybe that we don't like. The belly of the fish probably didn't seem like an answer to prayer, but it was better than drowning in the sea. Even if he wasn't yet on dry land, we need to trust that God has a plan and that his timing is perfect. But you know, I think the most important aspect of Jonah's prayer here is that he recognizes who he is before God. And he recognizes who God is. It's important when we pray that we recognize who we are as we stand before God. You know, Jonah was actually asked to do a little bit of self-reflection back in chapter 1. You know, in the middle of the great storm, the sailors came to him and they basically asked him, who are you? And Jonah says to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. Good answer. Great answer. He recognizes who God is. There just didn't really seem to be any evidence in the way that he was living his life that he feared the Lord. But here we are in chapter 2, and there seems to be a real humility now that Jonah's displaying as he stands before God. It's as though he now recognizes who he really is, that he's a sinner. And he recognizes that he is in the presence of the all-powerful, sovereign God of salvation. You see what he says? I called out to the Lord. I cried to you. That's humility. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. You see, he recognizes that he's a sinner in the presence of God. For you cast me into the deep. There he sees God's sovereignty. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Now, obviously, Jonah wasn't aware of Jesus at this point, but he does recognize that God is the God of salvation. He recognizes that he is the one who has the power to save. He recognizes that he's the one who has the power to deliver him from his sin. Salvation belongs to the Lord, Jonah says. But you know, we're in the privileged position of reading this book after Calvary. We know that God's plan of salvation is ultimately fulfilled through Jesus' death on the cross. And maybe you know that in Matthew's gospel, Jesus refers to himself as one who is greater than Jonah. He's talking about the fact that just as Jonah was sacrificed to save the sailors, Jesus would be sacrificed to save us. Just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish, Jesus would spend 3 days in the grave before he rose to life. But you know, Jesus is indeed one greater than Jonah. Looking back to chapter 1, we see Jonah was sacrificed because of his own sins. Whereas that certainly wasn't true of Jesus. We know that Jesus was perfect. He was sinless. Jonah was just thrown overboard from the ship, but he didn't actually die, whereas Jesus did die on the cross for our sins. Jesus is indeed one greater than Jonah. Jonah's sacrifice allowed a group of people, the sailors, to be saved, whereas Jesus' sacrifice on the cross in our place allows everyone to turn to him and be saved. And that's what we need to recognize if we are to be saved. We need to recognize who we are, that we are sinners. And we need to recognize who Jesus is, that he's our great Savior. We need to recognize that God is the God of salvation. And like Jonah, that's what we need to recognize, I think, each time we come before God in prayer. We need to see who we are, and we need to see who God is. And you know, the good news is as you humble yourself before God, God promises to continue to work in our life. He promises to make you a new person in Christ. We see, again, so many examples of that in the Scriptures. But probably my favourite example, it's a story I'm sure I've shared with you before from the Old Testament. Again, it's Jacob, Joseph's father. That great story in Genesis 32, you know, the one where he's wrestling with the angel of the Lord. It's an amazing thought, that, isn't it? To think of Jacob wrestling with God all the way through the night. And when it gets to the morning, Jacob says to the angel, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. And God responds by asking him a really unusual question. Because he says to him, what is your name? Now, why would God be asking Jacob what his name is? Well, you may remember that years before, Jacob was standing in front of his blind father, Isaac. And he wanted the blessing that day as well. You know, he wanted the blessing that was due to the firstborn son. And because his father couldn't see very well, he had to come close. And Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And Jacob said, "I am Esau." He lied and he stole the blessing. And here he is all these years later, and not much has changed. Jacob still wants the blessing. But this time he's not standing in front of his blind father. He's standing in front of an all-seeing father, asking for the blessing, and God says, "Okay, well, who are you? What's your name?" And I just imagine Jacob thinking, "You've got me." And he says, "My name is Jacob." And you know, he wasn't just giving his name. The name Jacob means deceiver. This was him admitting who he was before God. He was humbling himself before God. He was saying, "I'm Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm a sinner." And you know, God blessed him that day. And he gave him a new name. And that's what I love about the God of the Bible. You know, that story doesn't end with Jacob hobbling away with his dodgy hip. God blesses him and continues to work in his life that he then might be a blessing to others. And the story certainly doesn't end here with Jonah being stuck in the fish. By God's grace, he allows Jonah to go out and carry out the mission that he was supposed to serve in the first place, of taking God's word to other people who had been running away from God, who had rejected God, who had rebelled against God. And so I would just say it once again, if you're here this morning and perhaps you feel that that's you, maybe you've been running from God, you've turned your back on him, you've rejected his word, you feel like you've been rebelling against God. First of all, that's something that we've all got in common, by the way. We've all been there. But despite our sin, God wants us to boldly approach his throne of grace. If we would just recognize who we are as we stand before him, if we would humble ourselves before him, he wants to forgive us. And he promises to make us a new person in Christ, that we then might go out and make the name of Jesus known to others. So let's give him thanks for that great truth as we close in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for this opportunity that we have to gather together this morning. We thank you for your word. And Father, we do thank you that despite our sinfulness, you want us to boldly approach your throne of grace to ask for help in our time of need. Father, we give you thanks for the Lord Jesus and the forgiveness that we are offered in his name. I pray that you would restore to us the joy of your salvation, that we might go out into the world and make the name of Jesus known for his glory. We ask these things in his name. Amen.